Okay, once Randy gets it up on the board, stand up and honor the Holy Scriptures, and we'll read Exodus 32, verses 17 through 19. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." And he said, "Is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. You may be seated. Shortly after being delivered from slavery, the Israelites forgot all about the wonderful and magnificent things that the Lord God had done for them, and reverted to the way that many of them had worshipped in Egypt. They even worshipped their own old gods. Moses and Joshua had been gone for over a month, and many of the people had surmised that Moses, or maybe both, had been burnt up on the mount, and they were ready to go back to Egypt. So what did the Israelites do? They partied. They shouted. They sang. They danced to the beat of the music that they had learned while they were in Egypt for the last part of the 215 years that they were there. A few verses later, we learn that the Israelites were given in idolatrous and immoral behavior to orgies in worship to their idol. They were sexually being led by the music and the drum beat. Now, what would you do if you were God? God had just married Israel and had called Moses up to the mount to learn what the Israelites had to do to be his wife. While there, the Israelites thought Moses was possibly dead, so they wanted to return to Egypt. They convinced Aaron the priest to make them a calf from the jewelry that they donated, and they proceeded to have their idolatrous, immoral party. The Lord said unto Moses that, quote, "I have seen this people and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. I will consume them. And I will make of you, Moses, a great nation." You can find this in Exodus chapter 32, verses 9 and 10, and Exodus chapter 33, verse 5. Well, Moses gave a two-pointed argument against the statement that God had just made. Exodus chapter 32, verses 12 and 13, it says, "What will the Egyptians say? For wouldn't they speak and say that it was for mischief that you did bring them out of Egypt to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth?" And the second reason, what happened with the covenant that you have made with the Israelites? Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob Israel? "To whom thou swearest by thine own self and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all the land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever." These two points of argument made by Moses were exactly what God wanted to hear. It was the covenant that he had sworn to himself. God would always keep that covenant no matter how bad Israel would get. It was a one-way covenant. After Moses broke the two tablets of stone on which was written the Ten Commandments, The leader of Israel knew that he had to do some difficult tasks to atone for their terrible sin. First, Moses asked Israel, "Who is on Yahweh's side?" Sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him in response to his question. Moses then told them to put on their swords and, quote, "go in and out and from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor who was continuing in this idolatrous affair." It's Exodus chapter 32, verses 27 and 28. The Levites killed 3,000 fellow Israelites. Secondly, the people experienced a plague that took an additional unnamed amount of people. Exodus chapter 32, verse 35. This completed the penalty that Israel suffered as they began their journey to the Promised Land. Israel seldom behaved in the right manner, obeying God's law in their long history. The entire recorded written history of the world is only 6,000 years. The first 2,000 years are told in only the first third of the Bible? No. It is told in only the first 11 chapters of the first book of the Bible. In these chapters, the first world is destroyed by a giant flood, which leaves only 8 of God's seed left. There are still many of the wicked seed who did not drown, for the flood was not worldwide, although it did affect the entire world. 2,000 years told in just 11 chapters. And most of these 11 chapters is filled with genealogies. What happened during those years? How advanced did they become? The number of years of their lives were almost 1,000 years. They lived almost 10 times the number of years that we can expect to live today. How educated were they? The Bible is silent. The Bible tells us a little of how things started, the dual seed line, the hybridization of almost everything that was created, and the final destruction of the mongrelization of God's people. God saved his people from total destruction and started their growth in the earth once again. Noah and his seed grew into many nations. But they too sinned and were all living near the Tower of Babel. Abram's father was one of the people of God who was worshiping at the Tower of Babel. Who destroyed this ancient one-world system? It was the God of the Bible who split all of Noah's seed into different parts of the earth by changing their languages. Abram was chosen because he kept God's laws. And God did something that he had never done before or since. He made a covenant with Abram that he would have a man-child who would be his heir. Abram and Sarah were almost 100 years old, and Sarah laughed when she heard this prophecy. But they had this miraculous birth. And their son gave birth to twin sons. As the elder of the two rejected the covenant, this provided for the opportunity for the younger seed to be the inheritor of the blessings of Yahweh. These two sons have been fighting it out for 4,000 years over who was the rightful heir. The story of the covenant that God made with his people is told in the book of Genesis. The book of Exodus is about what people? It's the same ones, the people who were taken out of Egypt by Almighty God, his covenant people. The book of Leviticus is about what people? It's the same ones, the people of the covenant. The book of Numbers is about what people? It's the same ones, the people of the covenant. The book of Deuteronomy is about what people? It's the same ones, the people of the covenant. The first five books of the Bible give us the history of the Israelite people up to their entrance into the promised land. The book of Joshua is about what people? Well, Joshua was one of the people of the covenant. It tells of their battles on the western side of the Jordan River. The book of Judges is about what people? The judges were of the people of the covenant. It tells of their history when God was dwelling in the temple as their king. The books of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles are all about what people? They give the history of the people of the covenant. All the kings, with the exception of the queen who usurped the throne, were Israelites. All the rest of the Old Testament is about the same people. It gives the poetry, the prophecies, the history, the failures, the final despair of the people of the covenant. What about the New Testament? Who is that about? Is it about all the individuals of the earth, or is it about the same covenant people only? And if it is about all the individuals of the earth, what happened to the prophecy about the two different seed lines who had, quote, unquote, enmity placed in their hearts against one another? At least one of them would have to be gone out of existence, or maybe even both. They could not both exist at the same time if all the individuals of the earth were equal. For these two seed lines are not equal. They are as different as you can be. They have a different destiny. What destiny do you think that the Bible tells us the seed of the serpent will have after their death? Who are the tares spoken of by our Lord in the parables? Who are the wolves who have led our people in war against themselves? Who are the modern-day communists who advocate a society that is in total denial of any of God's holy laws? Why would there be a book of Hebrews in the New Testament if it was written for everyone? Everyone in the world is not a Hebrew. In fact, most of the individuals who are in the world are not Hebrews. The Chinese, Japanese, Indians, Incas, New Guinea natives, Amorites, and so forth are not Hebrews. So this book in the New Testament is not about and for them. Why would there be many verses in the New Testament referring to our fathers in relation to those beings written about? Everyone doesn't have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as their fathers, do they? The Canaanites don't. The Jebusites don't. The Perizzites don't. The Aztecs don't. The Incas don't. The Assyrians don't. The Babylonians don't. In fact, most of the world doesn't have as their fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Arabs, Jews, Hindus all don't. So the Bible is not written to them. It is the New Testament, or rather the New Covenant, that is written to and about the Israelites who were without hope and now have a better covenant than ever. The Bible was about God's people under both the Old and New Covenants. How are they doing today? They are living in a world that has a lot of the same beliefs that the world had in its infancy. The seed of the serpent has become the head, and God's people are the tail. The seed of the serpent has become the teacher, the head of the media, and the historians. They have convinced most of Christendom that everyone is the same. that there is no difference between God's people and the serpents. The wall between the two has been destroyed and doesn't exist anymore. There is no difference in the gods. The Hindu believes in Jesus the Christ. The Muslim believes in Jesus the Christ. Jesus was a Jew, and all his disciples were Jews too, so all that remains is for everyone to unite. This is the gold. Live today, love tomorrow, unite forever. That is their battle cry. All the countries of the world must unite and do what? What laws will they follow? Is the God of the Bible in favor of a new world order that is advocated by a society that is led by the seed of the serpent? In 2015, Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the United Nations, went to Tomorrowland, a yearly music festival in Belgium that promotes unity, and gave a speech to the founders of the music festival. He uttered that the United Nations agreed with the same point as the music festival: one world. One world. Arnie Quince, the artist who designed the bridge at the Belgium festival that symbolizes the coming together of all peoples, said, "We want to unite all people who strive in creating a platform for the equal-minded. People who want to express themselves and create freedom of mind and consider creation as the highest value. The installation of a long bridge is the best symbol there is to represent a connection between people and bridging differences. The covering of the bridge is made from wood. According to the organizers of the festival, everyone and anyone can leave their message, like art on a huge canvas. We are expecting to receive 210,000 messages. The bridge will unite all nations and people to show that we are all equal. The bridge is about freedom, another important and precious value. The bridge is 537 meters long and has a centerpiece which is 25 meters high." Now you can see the bridge there. "We hope everyone, everywhere in the world will join us in this adventure." That's universalism, isn't it? Ki-moon, in his speech, "Let's work as one towards dignity for all." Let's work as one towards dignity for all. This message was engraved on a wooden plaque and is prominently mounted on the 537-meter-long bridge. Ki-moon also met with Tomorrowland and Tomorrow World founders, Michael and Manu Beers, in Brussels to discuss the parallels between their brand's values and how music festival culture has been able to reach the core of the millennial generation so well. Quote, here's what Ki-moon said. "The One World Bridge," now this is what Beers said, "the One World Bridge now displays 210,000 positive messages from everyone from our neighbors in Boom, Belgium, to faraway friends in Australia," said Manu Beers. Quote again, "We are very honored to receive the contribution from the Secretary General of the United Nations, and we intend to continue to spread this message for many years to come." And I've got a picture here. From left is co-founder Michael Beers. Then there's Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. And the other co-founder, Manu Beers, they unveiled the United Nations contribution of One Bridge. It says, you can't see it, but it says, let's work as one towards dignity for all. That's what it says in the plaque. The United Nations gave Tomorrowland the wooden plaque that's been put up on the One World Bridge. It says, let's work as one towards dignity for all. This is the message of Lucifer, not the God of the Bible. I've got another picture. On the sign behind the girl's head is the inscription, and you can't see it unless you get up here close. It says, we are one world. To the right is the plaque that was given by United Nations right there, with the plaque above her head, with the inscription, let's work as one towards the dignity for all. We are one world. During one of their story times at Tomorrowland, the following was given. This is a quote. People of tomorrow, let me tell you a story that reveals the secret behind a magical key. In a time when darkness roamed and creativity and joy were forbidden, in the midst of all this misery, there was a man, an intelligent inventor, with only one dream. Releasing the world from all its misery by building an instrument assembled in an enormous work of art. To protect his creation, he fabricated a mythical key that would only be found by the purest of hearts, unquote. The key to happiness, this was told in 2014, reveals a secret behind a magical key, unquote, which acquaints the festival goers with another occult symbol of the mythical pathway to enlightenment, a mythical ancient machine waiting to be reactivated. Here again, we are told that this machine was built for mankind in the past by a mysterious hidden man who entrusted the key to guardians. Now, I have, you've seen this without that, the evolution of mankind, and now it's a machine. I will tell you that a lot of the jobs are being taken over by machines. We have artificial intelligence. It's coming. Tomorrowland has also organized Unite with Tomorrowland events in other countries, which serve as a satellite link to the main event in Belgium, featuring live streams from the festival with synchronizing effects, joined by in-person headliners. Unite with Tomorrowland currently operates in United Arab Emirates, Germany, Spain, Lebanon, Taiwan, Malta, South Korea, and of course, Israel. This festival began in 2005 in Belgium, and its growth has been impressive. Starting in 2008, it settled on a weekend in late July, and the numbers topped 50,000. By 2012, the headcount was an incredible 185,000 participants. And that's where they cut it off at, 185,000 people. In 2013, a companion festival was established in the USA, just outside of Atlanta, Georgia. It's named Tomorrow World. The following year, Tomorrowland opened a second base in Brazil. Then in 2015 came the idea of mirror festivals, live link from different locations via giant video screens. The mirror to Tomorrowland festivals enabled youth to unite, unite through the mayor and be part of the madness in different countries. Why a linked mayor and not just a simultaneous festival? Apparently, there is no compromising on the gold of building bridges between Belgium, which directs the spiritual content, and the satellite cities, which manage the local music talent, stage sets, and fans. Each year revolves around a theme, and these provide the first clue that despite its billing as a global musical festival, Tomorrowland is not really about music. The concepts of life and happiness and power and mysteries of the invisible world are explored in captivating high-budget theme clips released well ahead of each festival. Often music is not even mentioned in these introductions. I would recommend that you Google Tomorrowland. You can watch the show. This year they're going to have 9 days, 2 weekends in Belgium, being broadcast to 8 different nations. The second clue is that every single intro clip, as well as the festival kickoff ceremonies being from Belgium, includes the reverent opening of an animated book called The Book of Wisdom. Do you think it's this book? From which all the festival stories are drawn. On its cover is the logo of Tomorrowland. What do you think their logo is? An ambiguous design except for the third eye. The traditional cult sign is spiritual enlightenment. The eye is crowned, symbolizing a claim of lordship over the spiritual power source. I'll show you the logo in a minute. Yesterday is history. Today is a gift, and tomorrow is mystery. The third eye, also called the mind's eye or inner eye, is a mystical, an esoteric concept of a speculative invisible eye which provides perception beyond ordinary sight. In certain dharmatic spiritual traditions, the third eye refers to the ajna or brow chakra. Boy, these are...
Chakra.
Thank you. The third eye refers to the gate that leads to the inner realms and spaces of higher consciousness. People who are claimed to have the capacity to utilize their third eyes are sometimes known as seers. In Hinduism, the third eye is said to be located around the middle of the forehead, slightly above the conjunction of the eyebrows. Oh, is that what that dot means on their head? And here's the emblem. Tomorrowland's main logo. The insignia of Tomorrowland is shown above. What do you notice about this logo? What is it? Well, notice the crown third eye at the top. There's the eye. And above it's got a crown. And it's above with a pair of butterfly wings in the center. Monarch butterfly, your monarch butterfly, that ring a bell. The single eye of Lucifer or Horus that sees all. The butterfly wing represents the rebirth from the ugly to the beautiful, the rise of the phoenix. Hinduism believes in reincarnation, by the way. At 18 years old, Duncan Stutterhelm founded a courier company. A year later, in 1992, Stutterhelm and friends Irfan von Uyck and Theo Lilly organized a hardcore house, a gabber party called the Final Exam in Utrecht, that attracted 12,000 people. The success of that event led to the creation of ID&T, named for the initials of the three founders of the company. I for Irfan, D for Duncan, and T for Theo, which became one of the largest organizers of dance music festivals in the Netherlands. Responsible for festivals like Tomorrowland, Sensation Thunderdome, and Mysteryland. These three helped the Belgian Jews, the Beer Brothers, promote the Tomorrowland theme. The Beers Brothers continued to believe in their concept and stayed true to their own terms. They did not have to adjust their ambitions too much and kept coming up with ideas that young people found attractive. This is how these creative entrepreneurs gradually became genuine business leaders. At a certain point, you conclude that more than just organizing an event, you are mainly managing a business, explains Manu. He goes on and says, then you realize that you need to be more professional and that you need someone capable of providing the business side of your company with a solid backbone. That's why the brothers set up a joint venture with the Dutch ID&T at that time. This provided a strong backup and especially more breathing space for creativity. Even though the creative dimension is what makes their events successful, the figures must add up, of course. You have to surround yourself with experts who have extensive knowledge on the financial side, adds Manu, because before you know it, you've drifted away too much from the creative aspect. Now I got a picture. You might remember this from one of the other sermons. The Church of Love. This is at Tomorrowland. They have a Church of Love in Tomorrowland. The church is pink. And the two nuns who are in charge of this church tell the people who come that they can do anything that they want in the church for 10 minutes. The nuns' costumes can be seen as they are in the front, but the back of them is made of see-through material, which reveals that they are wearing a bikini. The nuns also instruct each participant couple who enters their church that they are given a free present, a package of condoms for safe sex. I think they have a very low regard of the true church of Jesus Christ. In addition, you can ride in Tomorrowland's airplane. They have an airplane with Tomorrowland on it. Rest in a luxurious hotel on the grounds. Eat in a 4-star restaurant overlooking the grounds. Ride the giant Ferris wheel. Lounge in the giant jacuzzi. Shop in the stores that are in the campground and have coffee in the donut shop. Almost everything is available to each goer, including how cheaply or expensively you want to go. All the acts for Tomorrowland Festival are introduced by the machine. The entire festival is based on the energy that is gathered by the screams made by the audience, and the singing and jumping up and down to the beat of the music. You might recall the first three verses that I read. There is also a Tomorrowland in Disney World. There is a connection, as Walt Disney was a 33rd degree Mason, and he had a vision of a new world order of tomorrow that would unite the world under the guise of love and spirituality. But it will come under the pretense of money and a world religion. At Tomorrowland, there is almost constant fireworks. In fact, one of the places caught on fire, and 20,000 people had to be evacuated. Constant fireworks, blinking lights, The machine, which is part of the stage, the book of mirrors, and the electronic music with the beat that makes the members who have gone to the concert like voodoo dancers. With arm raised up to the sky, with images of volcanic fire almost constantly burning. Could they be filled with unclean spirits that are causing them to dance like voodoo dancers? Mainstream music today is encoded with binary beats that negatively alter our perception and moods. These events are not only energy harvesting rituals, but they are of an agenda to merge man with the machine, transhumanism. A majority of electronic music already uses mechanical sounds and is accompanied by ritualistic dance towards satanic symbols. The AI machine recreates man, gives man the remote control. That is a false creation. The audience is told to scream and to let the spirit of the books arise. Music will unite us forever. In 2015, we got another individual who joined the ownership of Tomorrowland. His name is Robert Sillerman. His company, SFX, bought out ID&T and now owns Tomorrowland and Tomorrow World. He grew up in a Jewish family in the Riverdale neighborhood of the Bronx. I didn't put this in my sermon, but his company is related to the Rothschilds business. Now, Sillerman is a Jew. He was accused of sexual harassment. He settled out of court. His company filed for bankruptcy. And then with $200 million more cash, started a new company. Which of the two seed lines do you think he is descended from? What does that mean? That means he doesn't believe that Jesus the Christ was a divine being. He believes that he was a mongrel and is now in hell. Now, do you think that Jesus the Christ loves him? Do you believe that there is any chance for him to be placed in the seat of Jacob? The bottom line, Tomorrowland is a business. It is totally against God's laws. Now, I want you to look at this picture because it's going to talk about this picture now. At one of the sessions at Tomorrowland, the helicopters flew overhead. And as beacons of color lights flashed across the night sky, a deep, powerful male voice said the following. People of tomorrow, as a new chapter unfolds, you will learn about one man who knew the mysteries of the universe from within. Because of his vision, a great work was completed. I added C-E-R-N. With a sacred key, the machine can forge unique experiences continuously. Humanity can be reborn. The heartbeat of this device can be felt by all of you, unquote. I added, this was being spoken as the image of the Schoen machine revolved in front of the crowd. And as it revolves, then the goddess Kali appears through the Schoen gate. The image of goddess Kali speaks to the crowds of young people. A female seductive and beguiling voice said, you can see this on YouTube. She says, quote, there is so much that can come between people. This can be healed by the expression of pure unity. Hold up your wristbands so that we can witness this illumination together. Then I add, keep in mind that this was seductively spoken by a digitally projected face of Kali shown in a mirror. Kali is the Hindu goddess of death and destruction. She is the wife of Shiva, the cosmic god, lord of the beast, lord of the cosmic dance, the destroyer. A statue of Shiva stands outside of the CERN headquarters. June 18, 2004, an unusual new landmark was unveiled at CERN, the European Center for Research in Particle Physics in Geneva. A 2-meter-tall statue of the Indian deity Shiva Nataraja, the Lord of Dance. The statue symbolizing Shiva's cosmic dance of creation and destruction was given to CERN by the Indian government to celebrate the research center's long association with India. In choosing the image of Shiva Nataraja, the Indian government acknowledged the profound significance of the metaphor of Shiva's dance for the cosmic dance of subatomic particles. What is going on? Tomorrowland 2019 will be sold out in minutes in early February. Tomorrow World, held near Atlanta, Georgia, will be sold out very quickly too. They will be joined by live air meetings across several countries of the world. It is universal. Electronic music is the uniting force. That their meeting is based on a false religious outlook. The world is getting close to coming to the end of this age. The battle between the two seed lines will end with one side being burnt in the fires of hell. They have never been equal and never will. God is the potter and we are the clay. Praise God. God is sovereign. To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.